Deb, thanks for that interpretation of scripture. That's exactly how I heard it myself, so thank you. You were reading my mind. Absolutely. Well, this is tough to give these last sermons. Okay, I've only done it twice before, so not a lot of experience. It feels a lot like maybe giving the speech at the wedding for your, as the best man or maid of honor, or giving the eulogy at your best friend's wedding or funeral, right? It's pretty simple. I just have two words to say. The first is thank you. Thank you for letting me try some new things. In fact, I think I need a new thing to do today. Chris, Dean just got these selfie sticks at Costco. I thought, this is when you take a picture, right? When it's here. Here we go, congregation. Are you ready? This is going on the webpage, you know. And we got to get the choir. Thanks for coming. This is a great surprise. See, we can still surprise one another. Here we are. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Chris. I should get one of my husband, huh? Dean. Hey, my husband's at church with me. Shocking. Oh, this section? Oh, yeah, Chris reminds me. I got to get every section. You know, this is like marking a moment in time, right? That's what selfie sticks do. All right. Thank you for that. Perfect. Thank you, my Vanna White assistant.
Yes.
Oh, well, got to have a little fun. That's been the point, right? Words to say. I have tried a lot of new things here. Some of you followed me to Africa to build a partnership, right? So we could see that God's church and God's world is a little bit bigger. Some of you got on your bikes and rode with me, 10 miles, 40 miles, whatever. It strengthened our spirits, and you knew it. You were willing to create new groups, to create that sense of fellowship and join a group. And then some of you even agreed to lead those groups. Thank you for that. Some of you accepted my invitation to sit down and plan your own funerals. How's that for a tough conversation? We did it. And the skits, the stunts, the homemade videos, those movie clips that we brought in our sermons and to our worship, they were all intended to spark your imagination and to open your ears to hear God speaking to you. Thank you for accepting all those new things. I also want to thank you today for receiving me as a female pastor in your midst. We don't talk about it often, and rightly so, but I know for many of you, as you have this community, walked into this congregation, as Rod and I have served here, saw something new in the pulpit and leading your worship. I hope that I've given our women and girls a good example of leadership and how their abilities are needed and wanted in every area of serving in the church. And of course, it took some smart and strong men to welcome and work along with women as partners in ministry, recognizing we are all God's beloved and called children. This picture is from the early 70s, announcing the first woman who was ordained in our Lutheran church. It has never been lost on me that I was 9 years old when this moment in history was taking place, something I wasn't aware of as receiving probably my first communion about that time. And it was a risk that the church was willing to take that would significantly impact the next generation of the church, something that I would get to be a part of. And what is not lost on me is this. If the church and the people in the church are willing to take some risks, to try some new things, then you might be setting yourself up really to bless and inspire the lives of that next generation. And I think that's what we are always called to do, because those generations move very quickly. 5 years, 8 years, 12 years, we see how our children and our youth are growing up in our midst. Now, risks are doing new things. They're only effective, of course, when we see they are being blessed by God. That's why I shared this sower and the seed story. It's one that keeps me humble. With each new thing, my hopes were God would use it to engage you, to motivate you, to grow you. But I hear in this parable only about 25% of the time you're going to be successful or that it's going to really make any difference. But I, in this story, Deb, am feel like the sower, that your job is to just keep tossing out the seeds and let God give the growth, as Paul would declare in that 1 Corinthians lesson. It is only God who gives the growth. We are just the sowers of the seed. Keep tossing it out, right? And anything we do in God's name as the church is really fruitless unless God is at work in it. And frankly, if we hold up a mirror to our own lives, we see that the real rich growth in our life has come by the grace of God who has blessed you. It's tempting at times to hold on to a way that once gave us success and lose sight that things are changing and that that way, while it worked in that time, may not work in the future. It's also tempting to give credit to one leader, as it was for the Corinthians, that letter Deb interpreted so nicely. It was dividing the community. Some loved Apollos, some loved Paul, and they were creating this split in their life together. And Paul argues, it's not about this one or this one. It is always about what God is doing through us to grow this church and, of course, to grow you. To grow you, grow your roots, to grow you deep in the knowledge of who you are, as created by God, saved by his grace, and equipped for his purposes. And then to grow you up by challenging you to try new things and do new things. Now, I have to remind you that I'm not alone in bringing these new ideas to our church. In fact, I think it started with the co-pastorate. Quite an out-of-the-box thinking for this congregation that got Rod and I here in the first time. Pastoral leadership model was rare in our church. Our saviors didn't care. You said, I think this is what we need for this time and for our community, and you stuck to it, and you called Rod and I think it's been a success. My thanks to our partners, huh? Pastor Rod, you did it. Absolutely. And then you had some other ideas. You decided we should reduce our debt, pay that off, and expand our building to make room for our growing family. That was your idea. You decided that this building should also become home, a shelter for the homeless. It was your idea that we should go out into our immediate community once a month and give food to the hungry and serve it at our community park, and then create this great cooperative work with area churches. That was your idea. That we should practice hospitality at our best once a year with an annual smorgasbord dinner, right, Marion? That has been the heart of our hospitality that we continue to practice. And I was happy to fan the flame of whatever area of serving you became passionate about, because I could see God's Spirit at work in you. And now more changes in your pastoral leadership are upon you. Maybe you're excited, maybe you're not. Change is not always easy. I just ask you to welcome your new pastors as you have welcomed me. Think of it as like having another kid, you know? You want one, but you don't know what they're going to be like, and you already have two that you love, but you're going to make room, right? And you know that however they're blessed and talented and gifted, that's coming from God. And urge them on as you did me. In fact, I hear you may be having twins, so really get ready. Okay, I said two things I wanted to say. First, thank you. The second is, may God bless you. Bless you with humility, with constancy in your prayers and a good nose to smell the work of the Holy Spirit. I have so many reasons to be proud of this congregation, and maybe you do too, and the work that we have done together. I'm proud that we're a growing congregation when so many are struggling. I'm proud of our generosity. I'm proud of the skills that you bring to your serving. I'm proud of our work with our children and youth, that they are owning their faith. And I am proud of how inspiring our worship gets. But as I get proud, I know humility is the gift we need. I'm reminded of a seminar Dean and I went to many, many years ago, Bill Hybels. He's pastor at a mega church in Illinois called Willow Creek. It was a seminar with hundreds of pastors and church leaders. You know, he's speaking, he's getting us all revved up, and he comes to the point in his speech, he says, "Now, I recognize some of you are in growing churches where ministry is going great and you are having lots of fun. And then said, some of you are in churches where it is a struggle every single day in your ministry. And he says, I don't know why you have one or the other. I don't know why God has placed you there, but I know God has placed you there to face with his help whatever each day brings. Humility is the gift that helps us not be too proud and not to take it so personally when times are difficult. And the Bible is always there to flip things on us, reminding us the last will be first and the first will be last. Humility, may it be your gift to see that only God gives the growth and any success to your ministry. And again, the more you receive, the more responsibility, frankly, you bear to manage it well for God's sake. I also hope you'll be blessed with this dedication to prayer. I know Pastor Rod will be calling you to it. That is one of his gifts. It is his passion that we center everything in prayer. Put yourself in this church in the hands of God. And the more uncertain things become, the more important prayer becomes. Pray for your council, for your call committee, and your staff. Pray for one another, that you might remain united, that you might continue to care for each other, always ready to welcome the stranger, whether they are becoming a new member or your new pastor. And finally, I say, may you be blessed with a good nose, that is to be able to smell when the Holy Spirit is blowing by you and calling you to something. For we never know fully where or when or how God's plans will continue to unfold. So, my friends, our time has come to say goodbye. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I say thank you, and God bless you.